Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good morning, I'm Chris Berube, and you're listening to WILL 580 AM. It's 16 degrees here at Friends Plaza in Urbana, and now with a look at your pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Chris, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. The U.S. House is set to vote today on a motion to increase the nation's $16.4 trillion borrowing ceiling for 3 months. Without congressional action, the Treasury, sometime in late February or early March, will not have enough money to pay all of its obligations. CME Group announced yesterday that it's surveying industry participants about its expanded grain and oilseed trading hours. CME will gather feedback through an online survey, which will be available through January 31st. And will host several focus groups in addition to ongoing one-on-one conversations with customers. Electronic grain trading hours were expanded last May to 21 hours per day. McDonald's Corporation says its profit edged up in the fourth quarter, but the company warned that a key sales figure is expected to fall later this month. The Oak Brook, Illinois-based company says it earned $1.4 billion, or $1.38 per share, for the period that ended on December 31st. That compares with $1.38 billion, or $1.33 per share, a year ago. Globally, however, sales at restaurants open at least a year rose just 0.1% for the period. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 13,774, is up almost 62 points. The NASDAQ, 3,153, is up about 10. And the S&P 500 is 1,492, and it is down about 0.25 point.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Additional cold air will likely dominate a big part of the Midwest for yet another couple of days, and then we'll likely see a bit of a warming trend and a change towards wetter conditions. Well, the temperatures tomorrow morning will be absolutely bitter cold in the upper parts of the Midwest. Portions of Minnesota will likely be in the negative 20s and negative 30s. In fact, some of the computer forecast model data suggest maybe an extreme in the northeast corner of Minnesota, down close to minus 40. Don't know that will necessarily verify, but it'll be cold no matter how you slice it. The temperatures will not get quite as cold as far to the south as you might imagine with this environment. We'll expect to see some more single-digit teens to occur tomorrow morning across the lower parts of the Midwest. But for the most part, that is not likely to create a problem for most of our soft wheat crop across the region. Temperatures in the afternoons as we move forward through these next few days will start off rather cold and then turn a little bit warmer as we move towards the end of the weekend and into the early part of next week. Most of the warmest weather will hold off for a while, though, until we get in front of a storm system that will likely be moving into the region as we get into the early to middle part of next week. Temperatures will be warmest here this afternoon and again on Friday afternoon in the lowermost parts of the region. We'll likely see readings at those times in the 40s and perhaps even a few 50-degree readings. I think Friday afternoon will probably be the warmest, and we'll see the temperatures over 50 degrees in a few locations in the extreme southwest corner of the region, while in the meantime, it will be quite cold still in the northern parts of the region with negative and positive single-digit readings in eastern Dakotas and Minnesota, and 20s and 30s across a big part of the eastern Midwest. But the temperatures will continue to warm up, though, as we move towards the early and middle parts of next week, and highs at that point in time, let's say on Monday and Tuesday afternoons, will likely vary from the 20s and 30s in the northwestern parts of the region to readings as warm as the 50s and perhaps even a few lower 60s in the southern parts of the region. Low temperatures at night, I've already mentioned, for tonight will certainly be extremely cold in the northwest. We'll likely see sub-zero readings through a fair amount of Iowa and northeastern Nebraska, maybe reaching down into northwestern Illinois, very similar to what occurred earlier this week. But we're not going to see temperatures colder than that into the lowermost parts of the region, and that will protect our soft wheat crop for the most part. We are going to see the low temperatures rebound for a brief period on Friday morning, but Saturday morning will be cold again with some more sub-zero readings down into Iowa and parts of Wisconsin, and negative 20s maybe in parts of Minnesota. Then we'll look for a more meaningful warming trend that will likely get those low temperatures back into the teens and 20s in the northwest and 30s and perhaps some 40s in the southeast by Tuesday morning. Precipitation across the region will be somewhat limited over these next few days, but a couple of disturbances will bring some light snowfall across the Great Lakes region here in the near term. A disturbance coming across the region on Thursday into Friday will bring a little light snow across the upper parts of the Midwest again, with a dusting to maybe an inch and a half of accumulation possible. That'll be followed by another system that'll come out of the central plains here late in the weekend and produce a wintry mix of precipitation and some rain across the area from Kansas and Missouri into the heart of the Midwest. The next larger storm system to possibly impact the region could occur during the middle part of next week, but it's a little soon to get specific about the event. It could, though, produce widespread rain and snow. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Want to avoid the long registration lines at our 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting? Call 217-333-7300 and order your tickets now for the March 5th event at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. They're $25, along with a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. You'll hear special presentations on farmland values for 2013, diversifying your operations with livestock, the changing nature of the southern U.S. farm, and, of course, our money-making soybean, corn, and cash grain panels. Call 217-333-7300 with your major credit card, and we'll mail your tickets right out to you. The day of the event, walk in through our VIP entrance. Here are the electronic trades as they stand right now in Kansas City. March wheat, 831 and a half, up three quarters. In Chicago, March wheat is 778 and a half, down three quarters. March corn, 726 and a half, down two. July, 721 and a half, down three quarters. December, 587 and three quarters, down two and a quarter. March soybeans, 1448 and three quarters, down three. July, 1428 and a quarter, down two and a half. November, 1308, down four and a half. March soybean meal, 421 down 60. March soybean oil, 5222 down 21. February live cattle, 126.02 and a half, up 30. January feeder cattle, 144.60, up 20. And February lean hogs, 85.60, and they are down 10. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you.
Very quiet in the corn pit today.
It sure is. I think there's not much volatility creeping in right now. People seem to think there's adequate supplies on the countryside. It's kind of torn between a firming basis pattern, or at least a stable basis pattern in most areas, and the fluctuations in the wheat market. We had quite a different stories coming out of Russia as far as maybe limiting some exports, but they didn't drop their increased imports, but didn't reduce their import margins or their import tariffs. So the trade kind of had mixed emotions, and that kind of caused us to chop around a little bit yesterday, and we're doing more of the same today.
Is the downside limited with the outside markets on fire? And I'm looking at crude oil up. I'm looking at the S&P 500 index, which is approaching an all-time high.
Yeah, I tend to think that the downside is somewhat limited. The big driving force, what we're looking at right now, is see what kind of traction does the wheat market get. With the break in the wheat market, we've probably been able to pencil in some wheat into some feed rations on a global scale. That probably means that the downside there is limited. Now we just see if we can basically spark some demand, some additional exports to kind of buoy things and get us a spark to recover. Under the circumstances, the downside is somewhat limited. We're just looking for reasons to rally at this point.
And it looks like Japan is tendering for wheat right now.
Yeah, I think there is some demand globally. I think the competitiveness of all the grains is really, really close. And I would say a lot of countries are looking to source some additional grain.
Turn your attention to soybeans. What do you see there today?
The market there seems to be fluctuating with each weather model run for Argentina. You're under a little bit of pressure here today, and we didn't get any export announcements this morning, but the demand year over year is exceptionally good for both bean exports and the crush. So I'd say the downside there is limited for the time being. There are reduced estimates for South American production in Argentina, so I think that's an underpinning, but we won't know those numbers in actuality for several more weeks. So I'd say watch for the real harvest numbers and see what they want to do from there.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Let's look at the current tick in Kansas City. March wheat is 831 and a quarter, up a half. In Chicago, March wheat is 778 and a quarter, down one. The July is 792, down one and a quarter. March corn, 726 and a half, down two. July, 721 and a half, down three quarters. December, 588, down two. March beans, 1447, down four and three quarters, now four and a half. July, 1427 and a half, down three and a quarter. And November soybeans, 1308 and a quarter, down four and a quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.